This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
And good evening, everyone. Show number 5, TOS. Timeout for sports high atop One City Center on kind of a rain-soaked Tuesday, along with our producer, Jim Ritter, and all of our sponsors. Welcome into the show as we continue our preview of the big gala coming up Friday night, something that all of us that have lived here for a long time or have gone to school and competed for a long time look forward to each and every July, the second Friday, and that is the induction of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. And tonight, kind of putting a bow on things, a little pregame scenario of what to expect on Friday night when activity begins with the meet and greet at 5 o'clock there on the second floor. President of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, Lynn Hauser, along with the scholarship chair, and he's been with us since day one, Marcus Debro, the assistant principal at Bloomington High School North, who will embellish a little, if you will, of some of the new things that we have done relevant to the education process of our high school student athletes. And guys, you know, it's rain-soaked today, but it's going to be sunny and warm, and the sun will shine, and just some thoughts and comments from both of you as we get near to the event, Lynn. Just talk a little about this fifth year and what it really has meant to you and to the rest of the group and to the county of Monroe and the city of Bloomington.
Well, for us, Joe, it's Christmas in July. You know, I like to think next to the 4th of July parade in Monroe County, there's nothing as really as eventful as the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame Awards Banquet. We picked July because, well, for one thing, there's not a lot of competition, and so we wanted to be a premier event that wouldn't have a lot of conflicts or, right, you know, kids in school or people immersed in their jobs. And the summertime is kind of a time where people can kind of kick back and do things. We wanted the spotlight to be on us, and by golly, here we are in our fifth year, and we're talking sellout.
You know, Marcus, I have said, emceeing the event like I've done since day one, when I have an opportunity to open up our treasure chest, it's mind-boggling as we go to work in the early part of the fall in October and get ready for the next class, 2016, in this regard. But just talk a little about the quality. Maybe not so much the quantity. We've settled on basically 10 each year after our charter class of 15. But talk about what you've seen with just the treasure chest, if you will, of just unlimitless people to pick from.
Well, it's truly amazing, the athletes that we have here in Monroe County. You started with the Olympians, Jennifer Hooker Brenner, and you've had countless others that we inducted in our first year. And, of course, now we're up to Kevin King, a gentleman who has won four championships, track and field, wrestling, football, and the track and field was shot and discus. And we're inducting him at this point in time. So the treasures that we have here in Monroe County, they don't seem to be running out anytime soon.
Yeah, Lynn, talk a little about that, just what we've been able to see. It's not like we're, you know, scratching our noggins and trying to figure out every October. And that process takes us through the early part of the calendar year, each and every year. But it just becomes, well, as Kit was mentioning a couple of weeks ago when he was up here with Sandy Searcy, we have some heated discussions within the board members on who should be in, who's out. But we never have problems deciding the batch we have to work with.
Oh my goodness, I mean, we have some real battles. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes down to crunch time, and we still got 20 finalists, you know, maybe, yeah, down from like 40 to start with. And then, I mean, there's some finger pointing and name calling to get it down to 20, then get 20 down to 10. We're practically feuding at that point, but we're a family, and we get along great. And this year, for instance, we got our first gymnast going in. What
Absolutely.
Amazes me, Marcus, is the amount, the variety of sports, yeah, we have. You would think Monroe County, all basketball all the time. No, we've got figure skaters. We got rowers. We've got wrestlers. We got swimmers. We, you know, and now we got a gymnast. And that's on top of the usual baseball, basketball, football.
And that's a four-time champion gymnast.
Yeah, yeah. That's dominated the meet. And there's people every year going, well, what took you so long to get this person in? Well, As Kit said a couple of weeks ago, we're not for the very good or even the best. We're for the very best. And mm-hmm. to get to this point in time, and this is our fifth class, and like I said, we get these questions. Oh, what took you so long? Well, there was a long line of even better qualified people ahead of them.
Well, even our humanitarian award will go to a trainer, and you know, the trainers down through the years are probably the least recognized. Posthumously, Thomas Doc Petrie will be going in on Friday night, but Marcus, the flexibility that the board has shown in giving the nod to the individuals each and every year. You know, we put in 15 in that charter class, mm-hmm. but as Lynn was pointing out, rowers, skaters, you know, we had about eight different sports represented.
Absolutely.
In that first year, which is
absolutely
mind-boggling.
Absolutely. Missy Schwinn, I forgot her, Olympic yeah. rower. And again, the wealth of talent here in Monroe County is just unbelievable. I had the pleasure of working with Doc Petrie down at Bloomington High School South, and he's very, very deserving of any and all accolades that he receives from us.
Autumn McCoy, who does our radio spot, a young lady who does an awfully fine job. We added a line to our spot. You'll be hearing that a couple of times throughout the course of the show tonight, because we've added not the name, but the signification, the Negro Baseball League legend, and that is George Shively. And a little along those lines, just talk to me a little about how you've seen and the direction that you've moved the board to become this organization more proactive. And I can't even begin to think of a better project than the board undertook was the Shively Project.
Well, I just want a big tip of the hat to Bob Hamill for uncovering Mr. Shively while he was researching Cornelius Cook, a Negro leaguer that made our charter class. And we thought he was awful darn good. And then upon further research, the name Shively kept coming up. And here's a guy that was a seven-time Negro League All-Star and a two-time league MVP back when the African-Americans weren't allowed to compete against the major league teams. They had their own, and they were probably every bit as good, if not better, in some. And of course, we talk about legends like Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson. George Shively is in the same sentence with them. And here he is going in year number five. And sadly, he was buried at Rose Hill Cemetery in an unmarked grave along yeah. with nine other mm-hmm. African Americans. And not only did we want to right that wrong, but the other ladies and gentlemen in that group as well. And Marcus, you were out there with me on Easter Sunday, baseball's opening day, when that ceremony was held. And I got chills. I mean,
absolutely.
It was, you know, just at the end, everybody, Anthony Thompson, the mm-hmm. great IU football American, is officiating the event, giving the benediction, and we're all holding our hands around, I would say 150 of us, around the gravestones of these previously unfortunate people and singing We Shall Overcome.
Absolutely.
Now, that was Monroe County at its finest, and I'm glad we're a small part of it. Margaret, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on
yeah.
that.
Oh, I couldn't have said it better myself, Lynn. I was absolutely moved to tears with the celebration that we had on Easter Sunday.
Well, right now we move along, approaching 15 after the hour of 6. Rain starting to let up, but no threatening serious weather problems. If it does pop up, WGCLradio.com for our weather facts. We're talking facts. Banquet day assignments are down. The timeline is down for Friday night, the fifth annual induction of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame at the Convention Center, starting with our meet and greet at 5 o'clock. Just getting started with the scholarship chair. We haven't even touched our high school student athletes, very much a part of what it's all about here in Monroe County in the city of Bloomington. Marcus Debrell joining us, the assistant principal of Bloomington North, and also our scholarship chair, and of course the president since day one of our organization, Lynn Hauser. We'll continue along. You're listening to TOS on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. TL. Welcome back, everybody. 16 and a half past the hour of 6 o'clock on your Tuesday night. Don't forget, I got a heck of a pitching matchup tonight. Max Serger against Johnny Cueto as the Reds look for two in a row over the Nats. And they have had great success against the Nationals, which is kind of a noggin scratcher in itself. 7 o'clock, Marty Brenneman in the pregame show here. And, of course, the big All-Star game coming up over in Cincinnati on Tuesday of next week. Festivities will be starting toward the tail end, and if we have time tonight, we'll just kind of hopscotch through some of that, Cincinnati being relatively close to Bloomington. We have an all-star night of our own, the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. Joining us tonight, Board President Lynn Hauser, along with Board Member Marcus Devereaux. And Marcus, you know, we talked, you and I, about, and you grew up here and competed here and were an outstanding student-athlete yourself, and it is just, I'll just talk a little about what we've been able to do in raising scholarship monies for another class, and this will be technically our largest class because Bloomington South, it was just tough to decide, but talk about our scholarship winners and a little about the bump in the monies from $5 to $1,000 each.
Well, in 2010, we started this process. We wanted to obviously induct great athletes here in Monroe County, but we also wanted to have a scholarship component. And so we decided that we would have an application process in 2011 where students would sign up. At the time, the money was $500 per student. We thought a male and a female from Bloomington High School South, Bloomington High School North, and Edgewood would be the recipients of those monies. And so we started out with the application process in 2011. Mr. Hamill, who's our inductee, one of our inductees this year, around 2013, suggested that we should pass the chore, if you will, over to the athletic directors and the high school principals on selecting these fine student athletes. And so in 2013, the principals at each school and their athletic directors started the selection. And so in 2013, 2014, you have truly the best student athletes in those respective buildings. And so we started off with people like Max Irwin from Bloomington North and Roddy Schneider, who's a three-time state champion in tennis. To this year, we have Denise Aswee and Ian Finnerty, Deacon Vols, who's a national record holder in pole vault.
Three state champions.
Yes, and plus we've also raised the money to $1,000 now per athlete. And so, unfortunately, South had a little trouble deciding, so each one of the males will receive $500 apiece.
And, you know, to talk a little about Bloomington, and you having a good pulse now that where you are, you're assistant principal at North under Jeff Henderson, and you have a good feel on how that was received once we decided to throw it in the hands of the individual schools, and it's been well received in that regard.
Absolutely, absolutely. I had a personal meeting with Mr. Henderson, also Mr. Fletcher at Bloomington South, and Mr. Ackerman over at Edgewood, and each one of them was excited and thrilled to receive this honor from the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame.
Denise Aswee, of course, on her way to Western Michigan, and Deacon Vols to Virginia Tech. We've had them both on since we left Yogi's and started our summer series back in the early part of June. Marcus, you being here representing kind of Bloomington North, but obviously you take care of all three Monroe County high schools. Talk a little about the selection of Ian Bailey and also a young lady who I believe moved in, Brooke Collins. I think she came from Colorado, but talk about the two Cougar recipients.
Ian and Brooke, they're just outstanding. They're not only outstanding athletes, but they're outstanding students. You know, there are students that were willing to help the office as much as they can whenever they could. Kids that were always on time, kids that did things the right way. And typically that's what we look for at Bloomington High School North, and I'm sure the other two schools look for good students as well.
And Lynn, although you're retired, a longtime sports writer and beat writer for basically the Edgewood Mustangs for a period of well over three decades, Edgewood has a great pair in Mariela De Los Santos and Hank Phillips.
You talk about two outstanding students and athletes. Mm-hmm. One of the criteria we use, what we like to think Bob Hamill described it best, is where athletics and academics intersect at their highest point. That's the student athlete we are shooting for. And it would take us a long time to go through the academic achievements of Hank mm-hmm. Phillips and Mariela De Los Santos. You know, they're not state champions, although Hank Phillips did get to state in the 3200 relay. They competed in both the classroom and on the playing field. at the highest level. So that's what we're thrilled about. They're really very well-deserving students, as all our seven are this year. And let me just say this about what Marcus does. You know, he's our chair of this. This might be our most important committee. You know, I mean,
oh,
really.
I agree because we
are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, but our scholarship program, we really, really value. And the fact that this year we were able to go up from $500 to $1,000 is without really a scholarship sponsor this year. We lost one from previous years that was on board for 4 years, but we weren't able to retain that organization this year, and some others we were working on, and I think we're going to see that next year. But we have, only because our sponsors and advertisers are so generous, were we able mm-hmm. to absorb that extra expense without any real cost to our organization.
Absolutely.
It's not like we're in the red or anything. So that is really a big part of our organization, and it's really comforting me to know that we have Marcus Deborah on board, and also John Chance from Edward, and Greer Warner kind of looks over portion of the program at South. So I just feel we're really in good hands. It really takes a load off my mind as president. I don't have to worry. Worry is probably the wrong word, but it's just one less matter that I have to look into, because we got such really qualified people in our organization spearheading it.
Tomorrow on one of our reports, we'll have a long time. Well, he just wrapped up his 37th year coaching at Bloomington North, Charlie Worthen, who's going in as one of two coaches. But Marcus, a good delegation of 2015 recipients and we touched briefly on Betsy Cousins Mulder, but Sean May, obviously, and Charlie and Betsy, you've got a pretty good feel on the maroon and gold.
Yeah, well, at this point in time, we have a great group, but, you know, we still have some that are out there. You know, we talked earlier about what took so long. You know, there's a Quef Duaney that's out there. There's the Duaney that's out there.
We could put the whole time, it'll be interesting to see how many Duaneys, and justifiably so in time.
Right.
I mean, I certainly can't. I agree with you.
It could be the first entire family to go in. We've had that discussion, haven't
we,
Marcus?
We have had that.
And my sister wanted me to remind everybody that she was on the list, too.
Yes.
So, Tina Deborah. But, yeah, we're excited at Bloomington North to, you know, possibly have Sean back in town. And then, of course, Betsy. And of course, Charlie is still working with us. And we appreciate all that he's done. And so it's just going to be a good kind of homecoming, good feeling kind of night for us on the north side.
And, you know, Charlie, of course, was a class of 68 out at Edgewood, and he went on to Indiana State. And actually, as we will tell the story tomorrow, became the very first ISU cross-country runner to compete in the NCAA championships and set every kind of record. I don't care if it was from a small race to a marathon. Charlie owns it and still, you know, over at ISU. But that being said, Lynn, since you covered Edgewood, and I know when John Holmes was AD at Edgewood, we both came into contact with him and a coach. But here's our other coach to come in addition to Charlie Worthen, with red and black ties from Ellettsville. And what an interesting story. And on a special night, I might add, Friday night for John Holmes.
And I underlined that in your script, Joe. It's his 85th birthday. He's getting inducted on his 85th birthday. John Malcolm
wow.
Holmes. And, you know, you're talking about two guys that are salt of the earth. Charlie Worthen grew up in Steinsville, used to run to and from church. You know, he came from a rather poor family. They didn't have automobiles. He used to run from his country home to church. That's how he kind of got his start as a runner. John Malcolm Holmes has been a lifelong farmer in Monroe County and Greene Counties. He was his first year as a coach, I believe it was 1958, at Ellettsville High School and Junior High. Well, actually, it was mm-hmm. probably 1 through 12 back in those days. But he taught seven classes, coached three sports, and then ran home to his farm and had farming duties when he got home, and then getting up probably 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to milk the cows on their dairy farm. Now that to me is a pioneer on so many levels, that and as is Charlie Worthen and their accomplishments. Almost, they are just such great citizens to have.
Absolutely.
For us to call Monroe County residents and mm-hmm. or natives. You know, it's just, you know, Charlie, what a treasure, Marcus.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We love him.
And I mean, it's a litany of accomplishments, and I hope he talks a little about that 1980 state championship team in cross country that was ranked number one by the Harrier magazine, and then it was later nominated by the magazine for consideration as the best high school cross country team ever. And that team currently, recently, was inducted into the National.
Absolutely. Yeah, their times are ridiculous. They were all like under around 15-minute mark. You know, the seven guys.
The thing about John Holmes, and it's great that he's going in. He's going to be having a lot of people there support him, including Jeff Birch, who's coming back, John Brown,
Jay Brown.
But here's a guy that with over 300 coaching wins. He coached at five high schools, and at four of them, he guided them to sectional championships.
Back when sectionals were so hard to win.
For instance, Ellettsville in 61 before they changed to EHS, Edgewood.
Had to go up to the Martinsville sectional, to play against Bloomington High and Martinsville and, you know, maybe Mooresville. I don't know who was in it. Joe probably knows who was in it.
It was called the Morgan Monroe,
Was it?
Sectional. And, I mean, it was a big deal. Held it out here at the old field house, which is Gladstein right now, and used to start on Wednesday and end on Saturday night. So that's how large it was. It was almost as large as the old Wabash Valley basketball tournament that John won one year. I believe, didn't he? Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, in 1962.
Yeah, 30-something teams.
Yeah. And won that. And, of course, that is a very prestigious tournament that is still ongoing to this day. But as we kind of just sift through some of the names that we will be honoring, Bob Hamill, of course, we talked about his input, very reluctant, so to speak, knowing Hams, not wanting any of the publicity. I mean, his baby was the Shively Project, and he laid it out. Talk about a game plan. He went after it. We delivered. He delivered, and now it's going to be his night. You worked alongside of him for over 30 years.
He's, to me, the consummate professional. I mean, you just never saw Bob Hamill get upset at a sporting event or anything. Like, I might lose my decorum from time to time. Bob Hamill never did. And plus, what a great way for a young writer to have somebody like him to take you aside from time to time and tell you, well, you could have done a little better. This wasn't your best effort, or maybe critique. Hey, I like this. If you got a compliment from Bob Hamill, by golly, you took it to the bank, because he didn't throw bouquets lightly, but when he did, you knew it meant something.
Well, it's approaching the bottom half of the hour, about 29 and a half past the hour of 6 o'clock. We look high atop One City Center, look down, and the rain has ended on this Tuesday night. We have Reds and Nationals from D.C. Coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll continue our coverage of induction class number 5, a big gala coming up at the Convention Center on Friday night, the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. We have new numbers to present to you. We have the meet and greet. We'll talk a little about the memorabilia displays and lots more with Lynn Hauser and Marcus Debro. When we come back, you're listening to Time Out for Sports on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Back we come. Be sure to join us. Still a few tickets available for Friday nights. Joining us for one of Monroe County's most special evenings. Indeed it is. The fifth induction class of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. 10 new members to be enshrined, bringing to 55 the total number. We've touched on a lot of names that will be going on. A couple of stories. John Blau and Andy Graham, we thank, from the Herald Times. Andy doing a nice article on Bill Armstrong Jr., who, again, like Kevin King, as Marcus was mentioning earlier, one of the, they're hard to find anymore, three sport stars on the high school level in football, baseball, and swimming, and the late Sheldon Kinzer, who gave us a lot of thrills when he took he took his car and a lot of talent to Indianapolis and made a silk purse out of a sow's ear, really. I mean, you talk about underfunded, and he had some people because of his driving talents, and we'll hear that story. John Blau had a nice article the other day, so that completes the class. That being said, we move to Friday, and one of the smartest things, we've done a lot of good positive things, guys, but I think one of the most outstanding pre-festivities. Marcus, is the meet and greet, which will start again around 5 o'clock on Friday.
It's an opportunity for fans to come in and get close and personal with our inductees by getting an autograph, chatting with them. And I know last year we've had a gentleman that I had the pleasure of I didn't play with him at Bloomington High School North, but he was a few years older than me, Terry Stotts. And it was just good to have him back in the building. He signed autographs. He's the coach of the Portland Trailblazers. And so a lot of people came out to see him. And I think in 2012, if I'm correct, Rex Grossman was here. And they had the entire Bloomington High School South football team come in. And Rex signed autographs and signed helmets and things. And so it's just a nice way to get up close with our local heroes and talk to them and get their autograph.
That'll be at 5 o'clock, according to our game plan that Lynn has laid out. And again, it is free and open to the general public. And there are still a few tickets. Annie Carpenter informed me that capacity tables-wise or seating-wise is just four shy of 300, 296. The numbers at the end of this workday, Lynn, 280, which guarantees the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame its largest banquet setting induction ceremonies in its brief history.
Well, we've grown every year, Joe. I mean, it just gets bigger and bigger. And I will say that if you haven't got a ticket, there might be some cancellations or something between now and I would say the next 24 hours. And Annie Carpenter, God love her. Talk about the treasure. If you don't know Annie Carpenter, you're missing out on something. She is maybe one of the senior citizens of our board, but is young at heart and a tireless worker, has come off back surgery to help us with the reservations. And I think she's going for the Patty Award this year, but
she's got my vote.
you could call her. Here she is giving out her home phone number over there. I said, don't you just want to give them your cell? She says, no, but I can got my answering machine at home. So God bless you, Annie. Here's your home phone number, 812-336-6434. That is 812-336-6434. If you still want to attend the banquet, you could probably call tomorrow, and we sometimes get some cancellations, and we can fit you at a table. It may not be a table close to a particular inductee that you want to be a part of, but we can get you in the building, and the tickets are $40, but you're going to get a wonderful meal. What we had last year, prime rib, lasagna, fish, four desserts, about three salads. It's a feast. And Joe and I get to go early because we're on the dais early. So we get to pull rank. And we leave a little bit for the rest of you. But just so you know, that phone number again, it's Ann Carpenter at 812-336-6434.
We have another treasure, a male treasure within our ranks as well, and that is John Baker, and he takes care of the memorabilia displays, which will be on display. And, you're talking about the numbers growing to the inductions each and every summer. So, too, has the memory. I don't know where he comes up with all of it, but like you, Marcus and Lynn, you work hard at what you do to get things rolling, and John Baker is another treasure.
Yeah, and that's sort of a year-round thing, too. As soon as we determine who the inductees are, we start contacting them. Sandy Searcy sends them letters, and then we encouraging them to think about a memorabilia that we can present. And it's nice to have people in each of the high schools, like Marcus is over at North. He's going to bring some Sean May stuff over on Friday, and sometimes John Chance brings stuff from Edgewood and Greer. With the help of Greer, we brought, it's still there in our showcase at Fountain Square Mall, the 1919 Bloomington High School State Championship trophy that was in Bloomington South's trophy case for years. It's thanks to J.R. Holmes, the AD, and then Mark Fletcher, it's in our trophy case at Fountain Square. That was, at our inaugural memorabilia display in 2011. So every year it grows, John collects some stuff, and then we get stuff in the inductees themselves.
Well, and you mentioning Fountain Square, that's another facility that has taken us under their wings. With you know, I can remember the night we opened the wall and we had live radio, one of my shows over there, and it's becoming, well, it's a stop and look and investigate type of display.
Yeah, I mean it's a real
growing.
Eye grabber. Well, and I periodically have to. We leave brochures of or programs from the last two classes because all the others are gone. But we still have some from the previous two classes, and I have these brochure stands that I have to replenish from time to time. People do pick those up, take them home, and that's what they're there for. It's good for our sponsors. Their products getting out there, and their brands getting out there. Good exposure for us, and it's good reading material. I mean, you can read about our history in Monroe County, and you can see these beautiful plaques that we got up there on the wall, and four display cases of memorabilia that we change out from time to time. That's another part of the Baker connection, and we all kind of help out with that too. So it's a neat thing.
And also Mr. Murphy from CFC and Kim Hawkins from Cook.
Yep.
They provided that wall, which is right across from the security desk in the main atrium. You can't miss it. And you know, like I said, when I'm in there changing stuff around, it's amazing how many people stop by and look at that.
And back to the special night on Friday night, and again, things will start with the meet and greet at 5 o'clock. As we told you, still a handful of tickets left for the event. Lynn gave you Ann Carpenter's telephone number, or you can go to our website and it'll take care of you as well, mcshof.com. But it's interesting that I brought you two in as the last two as we get ready for the new induction, because through Marcus's hard efforts, there's going to be memorabilia of a different kind given to the inductees, Lynn, following the ceremony and your official welcome to the hall.
Yeah, Marcus, tell them about these lapel pins, and I don't know who actually provided them, but it was a great, it's our badge, basically, our red, white, and blue Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame symbol,
right.
Logo on a nice lapel pin. But Marcus, I'll defer to you on that one.
Well, we've talked about for years on how we can get our name out there, to get our organization out there, and so I always look at lapel pins as a conversation starter. I talked to Mr. Gomez from TIS, and he came up with the artwork and designed it and made them, and so I think it's a beautiful creation, and I look forward to watching you pin our 2015 inductees, and of course eventually getting the pins out to our previous inductees.
And I would be remiss if I did not mention, I think most people, if they don't know, we added a couple of new members, a former dean of students at Edgewood High School, Bill Atkinson, and Mark Deal, Indiana University, and all of his connections. We've added them to the board. This will be their first, and both of those gentlemen have been, well, like so many of the other, the entire board.
Mark Deal has come to the previous four and just kept commenting what he thought was a wonderful
representing
organization.
IU,
you know, you keep showing up, we're going to put you on the board.
Absolutely.
We'll find something for you to do.
Well, what do you think as we get set for the big banquet ahead and the induction ceremonies? Again, Lynn, there's always sponsorship availabilities. What's the best way someone that possibly thinking about it did not do so, now they will have after Friday night all summer long in the early part of 2016 to get involved in the form of a sponsor?
Probably the best way is through our website or to contact a board member. I mean, we're out there. One of the things I like about our board is that they're almost all very visible in the community, and people kind of know us now, don't they, Marty? Mm-hmm. Hey, you're with the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. You can always contact us. We'll put you in touch with the right people. We've got brochures out there, and you can always go through our website, which, as you mentioned, is the initials of Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. It's www, M as in Monroe, C as in county, S as in sports, H as in hall, O as in of, and F as in fame. So, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer. We have to think about it because messed it up ourselves in a program.
I put a little dot between each letter to make sure I pause and get it correct. Nancy Werner's our treasurer, by the way. P.O. Box 122. So, well, guys, thanks for dropping in. Looking forward to Friday night. Onward and upward. You both have been integral parts of the organization, Lynn, you and career from day one, even thinking about the concept. And Marcus, we had talked, and really a lot of us have been on the board since even before the first induction class. So really, this is year number six, and it's just been, well, it's been a heck of a ride.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed it.
And thank you, Joe, for having us on. This radio exposure is great. It gets people talking, gets our brand out there some more, and it's just so vital in the Herald Times too with their coverage, you know, and even the Ellisville Journal. Steve Sturgeon over there has done some really nice articles. We get great support and coverage from our community, and that's why we've been able to grow as we have.
Lynn Hauser, president of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, and board member Marcus Deborah, assistant principal Bloomington North, and scholarship chair for the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, joining us in conversation. We'll continue along on a Tuesday night ahead of Reds baseball, about 15 before the top of the hour. You're listening to Time Out for Sports on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back, everyone. 12 before the top of the hour, 7 o'clock. Reds and Nationals from D.C. Coming up. Marty Brenneman in the pregame show ahead of the Kings of the Ohio. About the time that I get the shovel out on the Kings, they pull up something like beating a team that they've had relatively sound success with, and that is the Washington Nationals, while everybody else in the NL is kind of labored with the Nats. But that being said, we will have Reds baseball the rest of the week, and I want to make note that after tonight, the Reds filter into Miami and play single games Thursday and Friday, 7 o'clock, and then on Saturday, 4 o'clock matinee for the Reds, and then the All-Star break. And this year, the Queen City serving as the All-Star host. And boy, I tell you what, if you love baseball, and it's not all that far from here, Cincinnati's the place to be. You don't have to go to the game, because they have just got, starting with their big fan fest on the 10th, which is coming up in just a couple of days. That's on Friday. But just to give you some idea, yes, the 86th annual All-Star game, you can see it on Fox Tuesday night, but Monday they have the Gatorade All-Star Workout Day featuring the Gillette Home Run Derby presented by the Head and Shoulders people. And from then on, we have the Duke Energy Convention Center in Cincinnati will be hosting the Fan Fest starting on Friday and running through All-Star Night, the 14th. So the game, as I say, will be on Fox. That's just some of the goings-on. They're going to have a big parade, more than just one. So the city of Cincinnati has certainly rolled out the red carpet to greet the Major League Baseball, the creme de la creme, if you will, for the 86th annual All-Star Game. And things will, as I say, get rolling on Friday over in Cincinnati, and so much to so many, no question about it. So, hey, we want to salute our Employee of the Week out at Barbecue Train and Shortstop, one of our sponsors for Time Out for Sports, Brandy Sturkel, who is doing a fine job for Chris Smith and Amber Harmon and all of the rest. One of my favorite stopovers there at the corner of 10th and Smith, so stop in and see him later in the week, the choo-choo right there. And if you've not been there in a couple of weeks, you know, they have a complete sit-down now and have enlarged the Barbecue Train Shortstop facility there on Smith Road. So stop in and grab you some of the great, the best barbecue in the city of Bloomington, let alone the county. Well, good news to report that IU All-American and Big Ten champion Lindsey Vrooman won her second silver medal in as many days, finishing second in the 400-meter free. She's competing this week, and it's a great IU connection because Ray Lewis, the head coach of the Hoosiers, is the head coach of Team USA. They're competing in the World University Games over in South Korea. Lindsey, who swam through the 2014 year, was part of a 1-2 finish for Team USA in the 400-meter free, and this marks marks the third overall medal for IU swimmers at the World University Games as incoming freshmen. And boy, Ray just keeps bringing them in. Lily King took the second in the 100-meter breaststroke on Monday. And also competing well was Lindsay, who won earlier a silver in yet another event. So that they got started on the 4th of July over in South Korea. And that will run through the weekend. But of note again, Lindsay Vrooman adding a silver to her catch, finishing second in the 400-meter freestyle. Well, news from IU football that Nate Sudfeld, our senior quarterback, earning a spot on the watch list for the 79th Annual Maxwell Award. The club there, based out of Philadelphia, announced that today. And, of course, Nate, back healthy, currently going on with the rest of the guys, 7-on-7 all summer long. And he steps in after that unfortunate injury. It was just the first of three that wiped out the entire quarterbacking core last year. It is really great to see Nate healthy. Had a sound spring, and he ranked second going into the year in completion average, tied for second in 300-yard passing games. These are marks that are going to go down again this year because Indiana, this is Kevin Wilson's on paper and coming out of spring. And, yeah, I'm a little homer here in that regard. I think everybody wants to see a 13th game, and Indiana certainly, I think, has the firepower. Year number two for the defensive crew, the coach. Coaching staff to get things done, and a guy that knows how to throw touchdown passes, and that is Nate Sudfeld. And he was named to the Maxwell Award watch list. Well, we want to thank earlier tonight our two guests, Lynn Hauser, president of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, and Marcus Debro, committee chair of our scholarship kids that we'll be receiving. And I'm glad Lynn brought that up because since there were three from Bloomington South, and Marcus touched on it too, that while Ian Bailey and Brooke Collins of Bloomington North and Mariela De Los Santos and Hank Phillips will be receiving $1,000 checks in addition to Denise Asquey. And since they were tied, the fellas, Deacon Voles and Ian Finnerty, and for good reason because, as Lynn pointed out, Deacon winning his second straight state pole vault championship last month, and then Ian just, and we've had he had him on the air, if you remember back when we were at Yogi's in the winter coming off what he accomplished at the IU Natatorium, setting those records and winning the 100-yard breaststroke and the 200 IM at the State Swimming Championships. They will be divvying up the $1,000, receiving $500 each. So, again, activity will start at 5 o'clock on Friday night. And we will have the dinner ready to go. Still some tickets available. And Carpenter was telling me earlier today that tickets are priced. And Lynn passes me her telephone number on again, and she'll accept those of you that want to go to the event. In addition to the meet and greet, which is free and open to the public at 5, the dinner itself will start at 7. 812 is Ann Carpenter's home phone, 336-6434. That's area code 812. Always got to include that now in case you want to get that pesky little lady. 336-6434 is Ann Carpenter's phone number. Still a little bit over a handful of tickets for the event. And as we mentioned, that will pretty much take care of giving us, insuring us, if you will, the largest crowd, throng, if you will, of banquet goers and sitting in on our fifth annual induction of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. That'll about do it. Oh, I do want to make mention while we were talking about Ray Luz and what the women, Indiana U women, have been doing representing Indiana University at the World University Games. I talked to Drew Johansson Monday, and he was just leaving for Kazan, Russia, and the Team USA. And if you remember, we had the Team USA divers with us on at Yogi's, and they'll be embarking for the 2015 FINA World Championships over in that Russian city, and the competition will take place on July 24th. But Drew, who's our outstanding diving coach at Indiana U, left early to begin running a clinic, and the rest of the team and four athletes on Team USA are currently coached by Drew, including current IU student athletes Jessica Parado, who, if you remember, won the NCAA Platform Championship last winter, and Michael Hickson. Jen will compete in the platform and synchro platform events, and Hickson will represent the U.S. on the 1 and 3 meter. And his time is coming to be in the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, talking about diving and talking about Darian Schmidt, a former Hoosier and Bloomington South State diving champ a few years ago. They're making their world championship debut as Darian will be joined by Amy Kozad. Kozad will compete on the platform and partner with Parado in the synchro platform competition, and Schmidt will dive in the 3 meter springboard event. So good news on that front. So although summer seems to be dead in some regards, we always have headline makers, divers, swimmers, Monroe County Sport Hall of Fames, and so forth as we move through the summer of 2016. Hey, want to thank our sponsors tonight. We mentioned the Shortstop Food Mart and the Employee of the Week, Brandy Sterkel, along with, of course, David Hayes. And where would the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame be without Comprehensive Financial Consultants, the proud title sponsor of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame? Also, Royal South Toyota. They're located on South Walnut, or you can stop by and see them on the web at royalsouth.com. For our producer tonight, Jim Ritter, my guests, Marcus Debro and Lynn Hauser. Reds baseball coming up here at the top of the hour. Marty Brennanman of the pregame. Johnny Cueto looking for his sixth victory of the year. Reds the rest of the week. Don't forget Terry Stoltz joins Glass in the Zone. Your phone calls tomorrow night at 6. Enjoy your week. You've been listening to Time Out for Sports on Newstalk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Good night, everyone.